Well, friends, it's a pleasure and a joy to be among you today. I've been able to stand in this pulpit a number of times over the years, and it's always a joy to come back and to share the word of the Lord with you. We pray for Mike and Michelle today as they are celebrating together at the Sphere in Las Vegas, where they're seeing The Wizard of Oz. Okay? Now, the way I understand it is that this theater is pretty special in that it recreates the tornado scene in The Wizard of Oz. Now, the good news for Tyson is that given Mike's size, he probably won't be sucked up in a tornado. So that'll be the good. And you can tell him I said that. I mean, it's all right, okay? I just aggravate him and all that. But I know they're having, I know they're going to have a great time today. I do want to thank Bobby and Leanne for being so gracious today to receive Debbie and I. My wife is here. Debbie and I, it's always a pleasure to come back. I had to drive such a long way from Kingwood to get here this morning. I think it's closer to drive to Atascocita than it is to the Kingwood Church from our house. Anyway, it's good to be here. Although I'm sure that you all cheer for the wrong high school in Humble ISD. Maybe some of you live in Kingwood drive back and forth, but nonetheless, it's wonderful to be a part of this. It's also a curious thing. As I've gotten old, you notice I said not older, but old, okay? As I've gotten old, some of the people that I run across, Leanne, when Debbie and I were in Bay City, I think she was in elementary school at the time. Maybe a little bit older than that, but not far behind it. When she told me today she was 2 years younger than our daughter, I said, help me, Jesus, I'm getting old. And I'll tell you another story about this. I'm going to talk about confusion today, moral confusion and clarity in the midst of that confusion. But there are some functions in age that just leave you confused. For one thing, being unable to see out of one eye, okay? In the words of Bert Lahr in the famous Wizard of Oz scene of the Cowardly Lion, sneak up on me on the right, will you? Well, you can and I can't see you. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen, okay? The worst part of that is that not only cannot see out of my right eye, I can't hear out of my right ear, so I'm just kind of dead on my right side in this. My children decided they were going to solve that problem of my confusion, my physical confusion, by buying me hearing aids for my birthday. Now, you know you're old when your children are buying you hearing aids for your birthday. I said, can't you think of something better to give your dad than hearing aids? Okay. Well, I'm a Claude Debussy fan. We talked about this earlier. I love the Sweet Bergamask. It's got Claire de Lune in it. And I put those hearing aids in, and it sounds like they're playing that tune on a calliope. You know, it just doesn't sound right. When y'all people who wear hearing aids, please say amen or something, okay? Don't tell me I'm the only one, okay, that can't hear music out of my ears. And so I just finally gave up and took them out so I could hear. So I can't see, can't hear today, but that's okay because I love Jesus, and you can say amen to that. Amen. Thank you very much. In this, we do live in confusing times, though. Get confused not just about ourselves, but confused about our place in the world. I do want to tell you, before I read this text from Genesis, is Taylor still here? Okay. Taylor's still there. Taylor, I have a proposal to you, okay? You don't have to go to Barcelona to teach people how to speak English, okay? You can stay right here and teach Methodist preachers how to speak English, okay? And some accent beside deep East Texas. It would be beneficial, okay? And I say all that as to precede what I'm going to say about the Tower of Babel, okay? Curious enough, you can pronounce it either Babel or Babel, either way, and both are correct, no matter how you've heard it. If you have English roots, okay, if you're teaching Taylor the King's English, it'll be Babel. If you're teaching Texas English, it'll be Babel. So be sure and teach these kids Babel, not Babel, so they'll know you're from Texas. Okay? So however you say it, that is correct in the way you pronounce that. Tower of Babel is a famous story in the Old Testament. It talks about the confusion of our age. There's no question that we live in difficult times. And to begin to get into that, let me share this word to you. Some of you may have heard the name Jonathan Haidt. I'm going to read the text in a minute, but Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan Haidt wrote a book a number of years ago called The Anxious Generation. It can be a famous book. Lots of you all who are teachers have probably read that book. He's a social psychologist who sort of drove the effort to get telephones out of students' hands. You know, in the state of Texas, no longer can kids carry their phones into class. Well, some of you may think that's a good thing. Most of you may think that's a good thing. All the kids here think that's a really bad thing, but nonetheless, it's a good thing to get those phones out of kids' hands. It was really started, that drive was started by the discoveries that Jonathan Haidt made about the effect that phones had on student learning and on student behavior. He also wrote extensively on the issues faced by children of our own age. Let me talk just a little bit about that before I quote Jonathan Haidt. The most dangerous element, I think, for kids in our age, you just keep running across this, is hopelessness. Okay? It's that too many of our young people have lost all hope in the future and what lies ahead for them. We live in a time, no doubt, of political and social realignment, and ideas that are contested about the nation's future and where we're headed as a people. But there are far too many American young people who can't imagine any future for themselves. Okay? They have no future at all. And sort of the theme phrase for them is not Black Lives Matter or White Lives Matter. That theme phrase is no lives matter at all. Now, how sad is that? That a generation of young people grow up believing that their lives do not matter. 2023, Harvard did a study of young adults, and one in three young adults between the ages of 20 and 25 reported of deep loneliness, of being lonely. More than half in that survey said they lacked a sense of meaning or a purpose in their lives. Many of those young people feel like the whole American system has stopped responding to their deep human needs. In another poll this spring, only 19% of young Americans said they trusted the government to do the right thing. Now, that might be old people as well who don't trust us. But nonetheless, those are kids that do that. Measured this way, friends, young people are not in good shape. They are not well. In 2010, the mortality rate for adults ages 25 to 44 were going down. Fewer of them were dying, as one would expect in a country like ours. But since then, everything has gotten worse, including the number of young people who are dying, and not just from violent acts like suicide, but they are dying deaths of despair, okay, where there's no sense of what's going to happen in the future. Maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't. I don't think I did. That the mortality rates for young people in the United States is now higher than any other rich country in the world. Higher than any place. The causes of death are as varied as they are grim. Young people are dying from overdoses, car crashes, diabetes, alcohol, suicide. Can you imagine growing up in that kind of world? I'm part of a cohort of people, of baby boomers. Most of you in this room, I suspect, are part of that. I was an early baby boomer. Baby boomer. I was born in 1950. That just kind of tells you how old I am. Okay? Born in 1950. Okay? Grew up in a solid family in a small community just across the river. Okay? But one that was full of promise, with a life full of promise for me. Kids no longer fall in that category. Even among Christian kids, it's become harder. Some of you may have been forced to read in college philosophy courses Jean-Paul Sartre. Okay? Jean-Paul Sartre was sort of the father of atheistic existentialism. Okay? That's a fancy title, a fancy word. You get the part of atheist pretty well, but for Sartre, atheism, the basic part of atheism, that disbelief in God, produced this outcome. Okay? What he argued was, is that who we are as a people, okay, that inward nature that God gives us is not how we start. Existence, he argued, precedes essence. Now you got to think about that phrase for a minute. How you live precedes who God made you to be. In the early service this morning, the band played a song. In it, there was a line that said, I am who I am. I am who you made me to be. Well, kids no longer believe that. Okay? They no longer believe that they are who God made them to be. What they believe now is that their character, their essence, is determined by their choices. Their choices are not determined by their essence, who God made them to be, but instead it's the opposite of that. Now, friends, I will tell you, that makes for a bleak world in all of our kids' lives. What's all I have to do with the Tower of Babel? Let me see if I can share it with you, okay? First of all, I probably need to read the text to you. So open up your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis. Okay? Genesis, the 11th chapter. This is what it says. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, let's build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, look, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they'll do. Nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Let's go down and confuse their language there so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The Lord blesses the reading of his holy word today. Now, I don't want to do a whole exegesis of that text. I only want to talk in general terms about the Tower of Babel. And now back to Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan Haidt, the famous social psychologist, wrote The Anxious Generation, setting the tone for a whole generation. He wrote an article in The Atlantic a number of years ago, 2022. And I just want to quote from that article. This is what he says. The story of Babel is the best metaphor I have found for what happened to America in the 2010s and for the fractured country we now inhabit. Isn't that sad? The fractured country we now inhabit. Something, he said, went terribly wrong. And very suddenly, we are disoriented, unable to speak the same language or recognize the same truth. We are cut off from one another and from the past. It's been clear for quite a while now that red America and blue America are becoming like two different countries claiming the same territory, with two different versions of the Constitution, economics, and American history. But Babel is not a story about tribalism. It's a story about the fragmentation of everything. And let me pause right there and say, is it no wonder that we're so confused about who we are and what we are as a people and about the things that are occurring? Sometimes Debbie and I look at one another and we say, where did that come from? And we say things like, What the Sam Hill are they talking about? Description of a world that we don't recognize at all. We just don't get. Now, this is just not about young people changing the language. This is about the very heart of our culture that's at risk here. Then Haight writes, it's about shattering of all that seems solid, the scattering of people who had been a community. It's a metaphor for what is happening not only between the red and blue, but between the left and within the right, as well as when university, companies, professional associations, museums, and even families. Now, Haight is a secular Jew, but he should have included in that list of institutions that had been scattered the church itself. The church that I grew up in and that many of you grew up in became unrecognizable to me over the years. And the longer I pastored and the more I worked within that given denomination, the less I recognized what we stood for. It was an extraordinary movement, and I will tell you, a deeply sad one for someone as committed to the church as I had been throughout all these years. Truthfully, it broke my heart, and it still does break my heart, that we as Christian people cannot agree even on the same facts presented to us in Scripture. We are lost at sea with this too many times. This fracturing that Haight describes is present to us all. So let me ask you, are you as confused as I get about all this? The question then becomes is, how do we think clearly in these times? How do we think clearly as a people, as a Christian people? How do we move forward at all? Okay. Well, let me share with you this. This is a story about Warren Buffett. Okay. Investor Warren Buffett famously said this: you only found out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out. I didn't say that. Warren Buffett said that, okay? You only find out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out. In a bull market, when the stock market is rising, it's easy for people to make money. Remember the dot-com boom? Maybe some of you got wealthy in that, and maybe some of you lost your shirts. For example, venture capitalists look like geniuses, and on paper at least, made fortunes investing in companies like Webvan and Pets.com. I don't even know those companies exist anymore. Hedge funds made eye-popping returns in good times by investing with borrowed money. But when the market goes down, or there's a recession, or interest rates rise, it's a different story. Many of those supposedly great investors lose huge amounts of money, and even major banks like Lehman Brothers or blue chip manufacturers like General Motors, even then, those folks can go bankrupt. I want to tell you, whether or not he knew it or didn't, Buffett was merely echoing what Jesus said thousands of years before. Jesus concluded his Sermon on the Mount with these words. These are the last verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone, he says, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. He could have also added, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, okay, is like a wise man. He built his house on a rock. So friends, let me ask you, what do we do in a confused time like this, when we don't even recognize the world as it is? Let me take a quick side to this. We raised a granddaughter who's now 23, graduated from Texas State this year. You can say amen to that. Amen. Graduated from Texas State and is gainfully employed. She doesn't think she's making enough money, but she is employed. She's working right down the street here at Fountainwood. She early on decided she wanted to work with older people, because she was raised by old people. She wanted to work with older people, and so that's where she's working. She comes home from school. She sits down, she moves back in with us. She sits down to eat with us. And my wife is a great cook. She is a great cook. And she can make anything taste good, okay? So we're eating supper one night, sitting around the bar where we eat. And our granddaughter, as she eats it, she says, "This is fire, F-I-R-E, okay? Fire." I say, "What do you mean it's fire, okay? Is it too spicy?" "No," she said, "it just tastes really good, okay?" It's the way I feel about the world sometimes, okay? I'm thinking where they're talking about tasting good and they're pronouncing it as being on fire about something, okay? It's a confusing time. How do we as Christians respond? By building our house upon the rock that is the word of the Lord. Do you hear me? You want to clear up your head about what we're facing as a nation? Read the word, and more importantly, do the word. Be obedient. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Okay? During the course of this week, read Exodus 20. Okay? That's the Ten Commandments. Okay? Read Exodus 20. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that begins with the Beatitudes and ends with the story of Jesus calling us to build our lives on the rock that is his word. And in obedience, we can respond to the confusion around us. Now, here's what I know. I could preach a long time about this, so forgive me, but just one more word about it. People will respond to those who live their lives with a purpose and a meaning that they cannot find themselves. Who's going to have the meaning that people need to live? All these young folks that we talked about earlier, they're going to respond to people like you who don't preach at them as much as they live in obedience with them. Friends, build your house, build your faith upon the rock that is Jesus and his words. I say all this in the name of that Christ who comes to save us, who comes to instruct us, who comes to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we might be clear-headed even in confusing times. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the words that I've spoken here and the thoughts that these folks have had in their minds and their hearts might be words that are rooted in your purpose for us. I pray, O Lord, that we who have become part of the anxious generation instead respond to a broken world by building our house of faith, building our small part of the culture in obedience to your word. Help us to be able to say, O Lord, that we are who you've created us to be. And that when we attempt to redo our lives, to remake our lives, becoming something other than you created us to be, stop us, O Lord. Help us to be obedient to you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and I know we're going to do something a little bit different this morning in that I know that you all are part of the D-Men project at Heather Sims, good friend of mine, okay? that Heather Sims is doing at her church, okay, of how the body operates together, what happens in worship when we respond to one another bodily. So today what we're going to do is I'm going to open up the altar, okay, as we sing this last song. Okay. I'm going to open up the altar and invite you to come and pray. And I want you to pray specific prayers. I want you to pray that the Lord would fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you'd be able to respond in confused times with a clear mind that's rooted in obedience to God's word. Okay. If you question it, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will instruct you and fill you. Come to the altar, those of you who will, or else just pray in your seats, okay? As we stand, what's our closing hymn, okay?
More love to thee, O Christ.
I can't hear anything, so I hope y'all heard that, okay? Whatever we're going to sing, would you stand as we sing together, all right?
First, let's just say thank you again to Reverend Welch for bringing our word. We are so thankful that you're here. You're such a blessing.
Thank you, Leanne.
And we have a family coming to join us today. This is Michael and Andrea Heron, and they are joining us by transfer of membership. And so the question that we have for you today, friends, is that will you be loyal to Christ through the Global Methodist Church and joining with your brothers and sisters around the world, do all in your power to fulfill its mission? Will you be a faithful member of Atascocita Methodist Church and do all that you can to support it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? They said yes. Amen.
Amen.
So if you will turn around, we have a welcome for you. Everybody join me. We rejoice and bid you welcome to Atascocita Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen. So Michael and Andrea, if you guys will walk with us out in the commons and join us. So if you all, as you leave today, please welcome your new brothers and sisters in Christ to our community.
Amen.
Lord God, as we go out today, please help us within our community to remember who you made us to be. You made us to follow you and to make sure others also follow you. So God bless, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.